Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And here's one thing you don't know about Elizabeth Perkins. She did 25 things. Number 21. I have an overwhelming fear of heights. One time I had to be rescued off the Capilano suspension bridge in Vancouver.
Did you Google this to like see if it came up?
I Googled it and I couldn't. There's no news item about it. I Googled it. I couldn't find the only reference.
There's no evidence that Elizabeth Perkins was ever caught on the Capilano Bridge.
The only time she has ever referenced it is on this Us Weekly story. So it's like actually sort of an interesting fact because Capilano Bridge. She hasn't talked about this in public or at least on the record to anyone else. I don't know what happened. She shot movies in Vancouver before, but who hasn't? Like I've shot movies in Vancouver. Everyone has. So I don't know what happened here. I need more stories. I need more of the story.
Do you think this is like the time when Robert Pattinson said like he killed a clown or whatever? Remember when he like told that story on Today Show that was a lie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, I don't know why I lied. No, this is probably not a lie. Maybe she ran out of things. This is 21. She was close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked number 12, which I already forgot what it was, but I liked it.
If she has an overwhelming fear of heights, she shouldn't have been walking the bridge. So how did she get into the instance? How did she get it? Well, like she wouldn't have done it to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like as someone with an overwhelming fear, she wouldn't have just walked it. So she must have been in a car, I guess. Like where was she that made her need to be rescued? You know, like, I don't even understand what the scenario really is. Is she like dangling off of it? Did she crash her car into the grate and like she was just sort of sitting there? Mm-hmm. What happened, Elizabeth? Let us know. Anyway, the real big story is the Golden Globe nominations were announced this morning. And Lindsay and I both independently saw the worst Golden Globes take. There may be a Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt reunion at the 2020 Golden Globes from, you guessed it, E! Online.
That's not even the worst take, though. That was like the initial worst take, but then there was a second worst take that was even worse than that take. Did you see that worst take?
Oh, I'm looking at it now from Just Jared. After the nominations for the 2020 Golden Globes were revealed, fans realized that Rachel Green, Jennifer Aniston, and her sisters Jill, Reese Witherspoon, and Amy, Christina Applegate, were all nominated this year.
So the best worst take is actually that all of the Green sisters from Friends are nominated for Golden Globes this year. That is truly like, that's broken brain.
There were a lot of snubs, but at least the fictional sisters from Friends were all nominated as their actor selves.
Exactly.
For different things.
No woman will ever be nominated for Best Director or win, but at least all the Green sisters have been rightfully nominated. No, I mean, the whole thing is absurd. The Brad Pitt thing is very, very silly. It's very silly because it's all about somehow getting them in the same room at the same time.
Which has been the thing for years and years and years. Like, can you believe that they're at the same event? Can you believe
that
they might be at the same thing?
Didn't he go to her birthday party too recently? That was like they were in the same room at the same time at her birthday party.
Did he or was he just room? I don't know that he actually went.
I think that he went. See, this is the thing. I think that he went to her 50th birthday party, right? That was like a big deal. But the point is that every single angle is just trying to get them in the same room at the same time. And will they be at the Golden Globes? Both of them probably will be at the Golden Globes.
Probably. Jennifer definitely will.
She will.
Oh, yeah, Brad Pitt. His movies are nominated. Yeah, they'll both be there.
No, they both were nominated. That's the point. It's not like, oh, they might be there because they both had stuff this year. They both were nominated.
I forgot about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah.
Yeah. Both of these things are real Golden Globes nominations.
Best series nominee, The Morning Show, which you're still watching for some reason.
Truly the worst show on television.
You said the most recent episode was terrible.
It was a flashback to when they were covering the Vegas shooting. Really,
oh,
really,
I forgot that it's
a really
doing, like,
crazy take
stuff.
On that whole thing. And so, you know, when the team goes to Vegas, things get crazy, right? Like always on every TV show.
Wait, so it's God, I hate, I guess I knew this conceptually, but I haven't really been actively thinking about it. They're doing a story of the week just like Newsroom. And it's in very recent history.
They're not doing a story a week necessarily, but occasionally there are stories that they are
and
covering. But this one was a flashback to this story, which was unfortunate because it allowed them to go to Vegas to have like a different type of plot line within
a Vegas
like, the confines of Vegas. But like the reason why they got to have that was like this terrible story that really happened with like literal green screen photos
died.
Of like the building in the background of like them looking at it or something. They also had the fires a few weeks ago, like the California fires. It is truly a bad show. Like I really cannot say anything good about it aside from that I'm watching it.
Anything about the Golden Globes that you were happy about, surprised by?
No.
Is there a hooey angle here?
Are we surprised that there are so many Netflix nominations? Like at this point, the Golden
Two
Globes.
Two Popes Who. It's is, a Two Popes is a Who.
Two Popes is such a Who. Some of the shit I haven't even heard of. Two Popes. What else had I not heard of? There were like a few things that I was like, I don't even know who that is.
God, it's very like, Where'd You Go Bernadette is very strange. That Kate Blanchett got nominated for Where'd You Go Bernadette.
There?
That's Hooey. Well, not Best Picture, but Kate Blanchett did get nominated for her performance
in
that, which is very strange.
So insane. That movie, that genreless movie that
no one saw,
made like $12.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. Very weird.
The most Golden Globes movie is like Knives Out and Judy. So if those two movies aren't like equally awarded, that would be surprising to me. Like, did she get her Judy nom? Did Renee Zellweger get her Judy nom?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. It was Renee, Charlize, Saoirse, Scarlett, and Cynthia Erivo.
The true biggest disappointment is for me, director, because like there were so many good women directors and every year someone is like, why aren't there any female directors on this list? And they're like, oops. But like this year there actually were ones that were, it wasn't even like, oh, we're gonna have to choose.
There were more than usual.
For movies
and
that
it was still
are
like
Oscar
oops.
And Golden Globes movies, like Hustlers, which is included, Little Women, which is included, The Farewell, which is included. So not to give like those parts of those already worthy movies the female director award is just like,
yeah,
or nomination is just absurd.
They really needed to give it to Todd Phillips and Quentin Tarantino and Sam Mendes again, you know. But this is not a movie podcast. There are better movie podcasts. Why are you listening to this if you want a movie podcast? We're here to talk about
God,
Peloton
this is
Lady.
Like...
This is a Peloton Lady podcast.
Peloton Lady.
Here's my problem with the Peloton Lady. Quick rundown of the Peloton Lady. Peloton, the exercise bicycle that is number one expensive and number two you have to pay more money for because it's a monthly subscription.
How are people still talking about like this is my question.
Because of Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, you're right.
I guess.
No, you're right. But, no, you're right. You're right.
I think by the time this episode is live, we will be in the last
like,
gasps for air
like
of this story.
Fiji water girl bullshit. It's like some woman like did a thing. Like, who's the woman? Okay, we know who the woman is. Bye bye. You know, like who cares?
This had the woke sexist angle. So it was those. It was like talking about the Peloton Lady bike was a little bit of virtue signaling. So it was like, can you believe this sexist ad?
Well, what
can
we
you believe
love,
it?
Like an advertisement is universal for everyone to weigh in on. Like that is actually a good piece of content that everyone can be like, LMAO, like what is this, or like this is good, or it's about like we all love like to weigh in on an advertisement. This one was truly baffling. I mean, it was, if you watch it, it's what's the narrative of the Peloton
ad?
This is
my problem, and I was talking about this over the weekend, and I was like, I understand, like what I don't understand about the uproar over this bike ad is that the narrative is extremely unclear. From a technical perspective, it's a weirdly structured ad. It's only 30 seconds long. So it's a woman who's like receives a Peloton bike from her husband at the beginning of the commercial. And she's like, honey, thank you. I love you so much. A very fit woman, by the way. That's important. And so then she's shown there's a montage of her on the bike taking selfie videos of herself being like, I'm on it again. This was tough this morning, but I'm on it. I'm doing it again. And then cut to the end of the commercial and she's showing her husband a compilation video of all of the time she used the Peloton bike.
Which is and it's sort of just like, a weird behavior.
Which is weird. And so sort of the universally accepted interpretation of this was that she, in response to being gifted this by her husband, the next Christmas she gave the husband a video of her using the bike as his gift. But I don't know that it's ever fully made clear that that's her gift.
Oh, I didn't read it like that.
It's just something that she did.
But that's equally psycho.
It's equally weird, but it's like, I'm having trouble reading it as sexist because I'm so overwhelmed by how strange it is.
No, I don't think that it's sexist. It's just not it's not it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
But like the morning show conversation around it is like, look at this sexist Peloton ad. The internet is so furious about it. Like what a sexist ad. But it's like, it's really just weird. Like I can't parse out what is happening.
It's not sexist. It's just weird. And I guess like it's sexist if you thought that there were men out there at like buying women gifts and then demanding they like show proof of use or something, mm-hmm. like you have to use the gift I gave you and like make me a video. But there's like that mm-hmm. literally makes no sense on like no level and no planet.
But this like very physically fit seeming woman, I'm just as willing to believe that she was like, the husband was like, what do you want for Christmas? I'll give you anything you want, sweetie. And she's like, I want a Peloton bike so badly. And
no,
so
that's,
it's
no,
actually
that's,
this huge thing where she's like, you got me the Peloton bike. Like,
no, that's fine.
Not a sexist read.
No.
This commercial still sucks because we're having this conversation. If this were a good commercial, it would be clear what's happening. And it's
But the narrative that this is like a woman whose husband like makes her get an exercise bike and then prove that she's using like it is weird just because it doesn't make any sense that that would be mm-hmm. what it's about.
Like,
in
this
any,
is a commercial not, about two... This is a commercial like, about two freaks who married each other. And it's just like...
Well, it's just weird because you know? I don't want to like say that it's not possible that somebody in a relationship would be given a gift that they were like forced to... I just feel like it's not weird. There are relationships like this that are bad, mm-hmm. but this actual commercial was not meant to be that. And I don't... And was not trying to fit into... like a framework that is like a sexist framework on purpose. It actually, what's really funny about it and why people shouldn't just be mad at it for that reason is that it's just like an advertising company like getting all like messed up. Like it's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like they're trying to make up a behavior. They're trying to say that you would do this. You should like mm-hmm. be so excited about your Peloton bike in your house that you record yourself using it every day and then you show that off like to your family and friends as like an accomplishment, and that is crazy. To like try and invent that behavior is crazy.
Yes. And also if you are a married couple and maybe they live in a mansion, and I mean they did live in a nice house, but like If I had a wife, okay, and I bought my wife a Peloton bike.
Sure.
And she started using it every day and filming herself. And then she mm-hmm. sent me a video of the compilation of her using the Peloton every day. Mm-hmm. I'd say, honey, sweetie, baby cakes.
Is that how you speak to your wife?
Yes. I would say, I see you use this every day. Why did you film yourself?
I don't need video of this.
I see you on your bike every day. You talk about it all the time. You're a Peloton freak.
That being said... If there is, you know, one person out of the billions of people that is in an abusive Peloton-based relationship, mm-hmm. we implore you to get out. I hope this commercial spoke to you and made you realize that, you know, you don't need to send your husband compilation videos of you using the Peloton bike.
Yeah, get out. But also, I don't know, take the bike with you if you like it.
Well, sell the bike. Get a bus ticket and get out of there.
It's just so funny that you have to pay a subscription to have someone like yell at you on the screen. Be like, keep pedaling like you asshole. Like, hurry up.
Well, we're doing... This is like... You know what this is. It's just...
It's SoulCycle.
Well, it's like we went from stationary bikes to spinning. Or spinning to stationary bikes. Or the other way around. I don't really know. And then we went
stationary bikes to spinning.
Spinning to SoulCycle. SoulCycle to Peloton. It's like a full cycle.
I don't want to be with people.
So somebody looked at SoulCycle and said, okay, well, what do we do for the people that want this experience but don't want to leave their house and are really rich?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so the thing about a stationary bike is that from a mechanical engineering standpoint, it's a very simple piece of technology and honestly not that expensive to fabricate. How do we make this expensive? Ah, yes, we'll put an HGTV screen and force you to have a subscription that makes you pay money to them for infinity so that you can have someone yell at you every time you use your Peloton
bike. This is actually not about Peloton. Like, I don't know why we're still talking about the actual commercial itself. Like, I hope you cut this down. We're talking this about Peloton Monica Lady. Yeah.
Monica Ruiz plays the wife. And immediately everyone was like, who is this woman? She outed herself in a statement to E! News and said, I was happy to accept a job opportunity. I was happy to accept a job opportunity earlier this year from Peloton, and the team was lovely to work with, Ruiz said at gunpoint. Just kidding. although I'm an actress, I'm not quite comfortable being in the spotlight, and I'm terrible on social media. So to say I was shocked and overwhelmed by the attention this week, especially the negative, is an understatement. Before she released the statement, Ryan Reynolds' gin brand, Aviation, got her in their own ad.
I mean, this was smart because it happened quick enough to make it actually the addendum to the story.
A true piggyback, yeah.
Which is surprising because, you know, he made a real commercial. Like, it wasn't just he released a viral video.
Yeah.
They actually used
a real
production.
Commercial for the gin, making fun of the Peloton ad.
Right.
Starring the Peloton lady. Wow, they really struck while the iron was hot.
But
good
they
for
used,
them.
But the like, ugh, I just hate that they like, they took the take that is just like the weird, wrong, this is sexist take and made it, that's what the take now is going to be because of the like follow up to the ad being like that kind of just like idiotic.
Yeah.
First.
So the ad, the Aviation ad is her kind of like looking sad. And then you realize that she's with her like girlfriends and they're drinking gin or they're drinking martinis. And then she says, this gin is smooth. And the other girl says, we can get you another one if you like. And the other one says, you're safe here. And then Peloton woman says, to new beginnings. And then downs her whole drink in a single gulp. I'm quoting Washington Post. And the friend says, you look great, by the way. So it's just, you know, she's dealing with the feedback, the fallout of the ad. That's what it is. It's sort of funny.
I hope she got to keep the Peloton bike in the divorce or whatever. So yeah. But didn't they also find Peloton guy and he was like, I'm going to have trouble getting work after this. It's like, no,
yes,
you're
but
not.
Then he changed. But then he changed his Instagram handle to Peloton husband. He's Peloton husband on Instagram. His name is Sean.
This is like Cliff guy all over again. These people.
He changed his... These and no one cares about Peloton husband. Also, what a misread of the narrative. Like, husband, you're not part of this.
Yeah, but also, like, no one's mad at you for, like, playing a role that made no sense in a Peloton ad. In which, like, that's not, like, no one's mad at you. This isn't, whatever. I mean,
Monica Ruiz, what other shows has she been in? She was in the show Baby Daddy.
Yeah, what else?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
That's pretty much it.
And what about the husband? Would we recognize him from anything?
I don't think so. No, we wouldn't.
I can't wait till Monica gets her own show that's like Peloton, like, you know, Peloton Lady.
Peloton Lady on CBS. Yeah, absolutely. Peloton Lady on CBS.
It's like, oh, recently a single woman and one Peloton bike move into an apartment complex in Detroit.
Absolutely. On CBS. She finds herself.
But she finds herself on the bike and off, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. And the tagline, keep spinning. Keep spinning.
It'd be like spinning out. Is she spinning out?
When life is spinning out of control and you feel like you're, it's just like spinning pun, spinning pun, spinning pun, spinning pun. And then at the end, you just keep, that's why you always have to keep spinning. Peloton Wife, the series.
Coming to CBS.
No, just kidding. Apple TV Plus. Reese is like, I find that story inspiring, y'all. Yeah. We got to option that story, y'all.
No, it's literally like a crossover with like season 12 of The Morning Show. It's like Jennifer Aniston's character is like, the story today is a Peloton commercial because they're doing like a flashback to like when it
You're
happened.
Like,
okay,
no.
I get it.
Okay. Speaking of recently single women, the wife of Papa John filed for divorce.
She's taken her Peloton bike and she's heading out of town.
She's taken her Peloton bike and 40 pizzas and she's getting out of there.
30 to 40.
John Schnatter is Papa John We talked about him. He had 40 pizzas in 30 days. He hates the new management of Papa John. Remember, he left because
I don't want to talk about him too long. So she's leaving.
And now he's single. The story here is that he had a wife up until this point. Like, someone was dealing with this sweaty pizza man for this long.
Yeah. Imagine what his sweat smells like. Like Domino's pizza. What is it? Papa John's pizza.
No, it smells like Papa John's. No, it smells like that garlic sauce, that really good garlic butter sauce.
But that would be good.
B.O. garlic butter sauce. No, it's mixed with B.O.
Okay, B.O. Okay, fine. Bad. Like, it's just bad garlic
butter
sauce.
Sweaty, B.O.-y garlic butter sauce.
Okay, fine.
Ugh, and then this hair gel, like a really cheap hair gel that he's been using for like 30 years, and he won't. He's very brand loyal.
I don't like this scent journey. I want to get off the scent journey.
What is next? Oh, another dead dog. Another dead dog.
This one is funny because it goes into this us talking about, or when we spoke about what happens, like, if your dog died while you were out of town, like, would you want to know or not? Yeah, so this literally happened to Teddy Mellencamp, a.k.a. John Mellencamp's daughter, who's on Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
Her dog died in, quote, an accident while her family was out of town. Quote, we love you. The other, like, great 2019 thing about this dog dying, which is not great. I'm sad about the dog dying. No, let's be real. Is that the dog's name was Khaleesi, which is like...
It's truly the death knell for Game of Thrones. Like, we're fully over Game of Thrones.
Like,
Game of Thrones ends
and Khaleesi the dog dies while they're on vacation or whatever. Like,
Game of Thrones got one Golden Globe nomination and that's it.
Good. Great.
For Kit. Fine. Did you see that movie? That's the last thing the gays did at our house over the weekend.
Oh,
we watched the trailer for the death and life of John F. Donovan. It's finally coming out.
I thought it already came out and went.
No, it never came out. It was always like just sitting in limbo after.
That's
like
the movie
no
that had
it.
Like 12 different
Kit
posters
Harington.
For like each person that was in it. Remember
well,
that,
it just had
right?
one poster, but it sort of, I still sort of feel like that poster was fan made, but it was the IMDb poster, but it was like, every single, like Kathy Bates,
right?
Susan Sarandon, Natalie Portman,
right?
Jacob Tremblay, Kit Harington, Jessica Chastain, blee blee blue blue blah blah blah.
But
blah,
is
blah,
that
blah.
Movie? Does it look good?
No, apparently it's the fucking worst, and it comes out in a week. Finally,
I can't wait.
The trailer's finally out, and I'm like, well, the trailer's kind of good, but the movie's apparently.
They should just like
terrible.
Rename it Game of Thrones. People would go see it if it was called Game of Thrones.
Would just go.
Yeah.
One more time. Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah. You're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince. Normally. And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who. Moving on, do we want to talk about Teddy Mellencamp? We've never really talked about Teddy Mellencamp on the podcast before.
She's
a housewife.
She's a lifestyle consultant who is John Mellencamp's daughter, and
we have talked about
her. Yeah, the former maybe stepdaughter of Meg Ryan, now no more. She's just like she's a Beverly Hills Housewives person. I just, you know, there's really not much to say about her, to be honest.
But there is something to say about Tamron Hall and Kelly Clarkson. Speaking of morning show, this is like goss that I think was reported by a British. Yeah, the Daily Mail.
Goss. Oh my God.
So the Daily Mail reported that because Kelly Clarkson's show has already been renewed for a second season, according to these sources, Tamron Hall found out that Kelly Clarkson's was renewed and hers has not been renewed yet. It hasn't been canceled. It just hasn't been announced yet. So Kelly Clarkson gets renewed for a second season because she sings. Tamron Hall does not yet. And so according to the Daily Mail, Tamron Hall, quote, blew a gasket. after finding this out.
A good turn.
Apparently caused a little ruckus, was so pissed off. That's all the story was. Well, after that, Tamron Hall takes to Instagram.
Oops.
And wrote that that's a bunch of lies, she says. It's ironic that a few days after I said on my show that I've seen men, quote, storm out of rooms, puffing and huffing, and no one says anything, while, quote, women who speak up are viewed as difficult, that someone would leak a false story about me being difficult. Leak a false story is funny. Leak a false story. As I said, live
that's
on my
true,
show.
Then.
As I said, live on my show while defending Gabrielle Union.
That no one was
women
watching.
Are perceived as difficult when they speak up. I have never once complained about Kelly's renewal. I am so happy for my fellow Texan. I'm excited about my show and I can't wait for season two. So I guess she is getting a second season. Is that what that says?
I don't
know that it's official.
No.
Point is, Tamron's saying none of this ever happened.
It 100% happened. This is her, all of the way that she wrote it, 100% happened, because you wouldn't say
leak,
like,
a false story is a weird way to put it.
But also you wouldn't say, like, women are treated for being mad. You know, you wouldn't say that unless it happened.
Yeah. She's saying
the problem,
like,
isn't
women
that
women who speak up are told they're difficult, but she's saying that, like,
right,
this never happened, but you're right. You're right. I didn't even notice that. Her explanation is that, like, just because women get mad doesn't mean that they're bad.
Yeah. It's like in a movie where you're like, how'd you know his name? I never told you his name.
Yeah, exactly. I never told you my dress was lavender. Yeah. That's exactly what this is. You're right. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that she would say it that way if it wasn't from truth.
I think the weird thing is just, like, why wasn't Tamron Hall's show more widely syndicated? The last I heard about Tamron Hall was that, like, she was annoyed, rightfully, that her show is not in a lot of, like, all the major markets.
Well, she should,
like,
focus on here. That and not Kelly Clarkson. America's sweetheart, Kelly Clarkson, because you're going to lose if you start fighting Kelly Clarkson. Yeah.
Her ratings slip and producers complain she's too controlling. Okay, shut up. That is rude.
That is rude.
Of course she's controlling. It's her show.
I know. This was just a funny bit. I think this is from The Sun. Apprentices Ryan Mark, which is just funny. His name is Ryan-Mark. Like, I don't know. Last name first. Oh, it's Ryan Mark Parsons. But it says, apprentices Ryan Mark rushed to hospital after dropping 1,000 pound of caviar on his foot. Exclusive, apprentice star Ryan Mark Parsons needed an operation on his foot after the fishy blood splattered accident, which is, like, gross and funny. A funny injury that's, like, practically harmless. But the funny thing to me, as somebody who's never heard of this person before, it says, Ryan Mark was devastated, not because he thought he had broken his foot, but because it was a kilo of Royal Ocentra caviar, which costs over 1,000 pounds a jar.
Who is this person?
I don't know. He, like, came in, like, eighth on The Apprentice UK.
Well, I googled
him
earlier, and I guess
know.
He's, like, notoriously really rich.
He's 19.
But,
sure.
This photo is so funny. The headline in the Daily Mail is, The Apprentice's, quote, posh star Ryan Mark Parsons eats McDonald's meal with a knife and fork as he takes, all caps, cutlery into the chain, .. after he was taken to hospital over caviar inflicted injury.
So that's, like, that's his bit. Caviar inflicted injury is very funny.
We should all aspire to have a caviar inflicted injury. And look at this. This is, like, he called the pops. Look at that.
I mean, this isn't even Celebrity Apprentice. It's just Celebrity. Yeah. Oh, I love this
picture.
Isn't that
good?
Wait, that's so cute. It looks like he got dropped there after school. He's, like, only 19 years old. He looks like a baby.
One of the quotes about his caviar injury was, a source told The Mirror, he literally couldn't walk and blood was everywhere. That's what you say when you are the person who was injured. When I had my foot injury, when I was recounting it to people, I was like, I literally couldn't walk and there was blood everywhere.
Yeah. Is The Apprentice UK even pop? It can't be popular. Is it popular over there?
I don't know.
I have no
actually
concept.
Popular.
Okay. Well, whatever.
In my mind, you know, like, I feel like they're all humongous hits. But truly, I don't know which ones are the real ones.
But they're not.
Yeah.
Art Basel is also right now, and it's providing some hooey stuff that I don't even think we have anything in here about that.
No. Well, we had something about the banana, but it's boring. Art Basel is... I just can't. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
I did get a really good press release email. Please don't send me these, but I am going to read it. Photos. Rosé Day Miami at Art Basel. And then the email just says, Jesse Metcalf... Cara Santana, Young Perez, Nyjah Hudson, Amber Gutierrez, Too Short, Mark Houston, Andy Dorfman, Amanda Stanton, Andrew Warren, Stephanie Shepard, Diana Madison, Jay Paré, Damon John, James Sheets Goldstein, Gregory Siff, Keith Bullock were just a few of the notables who attended yesterday's Rosé Day Miami at the One Hotel. The exclusive soiree was one of Art Basel's most sought-out events, not by that list of people, which drew in Miami's elite, including the art industry's top tastemakers, influencers, and billionaires. Guests danced to music by DJs Zen Freeman, Fred Falke, and Nick Cohen, and were treated to visually stunning floral moments, cocktails, food, and endless interactive entertainment provided by a number of luxury sponsors, including Chateau Desclin, Perrier Jouet, Whispering Angel, Beefeater Pink, Eugene, Absolute Elix, Elix,
Absolute cool, what?
Codigo, 1530 Tequila, and Modern Luxury.
Oh my God.
But that list of people, Jesse Metcalf and Too Short, I mean, maybe there is some good stuff going on in Art Basel.
We got to go. Well, let's go next year.
Okay, we'll go. Fine, we'll go.
We'll
fine.
Go next year.
Fine, we'll go. You know where we also need to go? We need to go see Katie Tunstall on her tour of Littles. Little.
Lytle. Lytle?
I think it's Lytle. Is it Lytle?
I think it's Lytle. No. If it's Little.
Lidl, de hoogste kwaliteit voor de laagste prijs.
But have you been to a Lidl? I have. A Lidl?
Lidl.
Lidl?
Lidl.
I've been to one in the UK. Like, I've been to a Lidl.
Lidl.
Right. Yeah. Have you been to one?
So yes, I've been to one.
Katie Tunstall is doing a tour of them as a promotion for Lidl.
Lidl.
To celebrate their 100th Scottish store, which is pretty great.
Good for her. She's Scottish, I take it? They're calling her a national treasure, but I'm like, just confirming this is the correct nation because...
Yeah, no, please, please. Somebody retweeted this news and wrote, suddenly aisle three, which was truly the funniest thing that has come out of this story. If you don't remember how that's a joke, she had that song, Suddenly I See.
Suddenly I See.
Suddenly I See. Suddenly I See. But wasn't it called like Blackbird on a hammock or something?
No, the song was called Suddenly I See. Suddenly I See. But that song was called Suddenly I See. Suddenly
wasn't there a song called like black horse, black rabbit, black bird, black...
I'm Googling. Oh, Black Horse in the Cherry Tree.
Okay.
She broke into the public eye with a 2004 live solo performance of her song Black Horse in the Cherry
because
Tree.
Because she like recorded all the parts separately and layered them. Remember that was like before Ed Sheeran did it?
Vaguely. I really only remember Suddenly I See. Suddenly I
See. But this is a great campaign because it involves releasing a press statement that says Ross Miller, regional director at Lidl for Scotland, said, quote, "We are proud to serve Scottish communities and champion the quality produce of our regional suppliers, and we can think of no better way to celebrate our 100th store in Scotland than with an exciting foodie-themed tour of the country with national treasure, Katie Tunstall."
She has released 6 full-length albums, and the most recent one came out last year, and it peaked at number 6 on the Scotland charts and number 15 in the UK charts. So her music is still like performing okay.
Yeah, did you know she also wrote soundtracks for films, including 1,000 Years for Tinkerbell and The Legend of the Never Beast, Fit In for About Ray, and Get Your Tits Up, Sweet for Bad Moms.
Get Your Tits Up, Sweet. Oh, sweet. Yeah, sweet.
You can play that here if you want.
This story is sort of juicy, but also Lily James is still sort of boring. Lily James, star of Mamma Mia 2, what happened to her, Lindsay?
This is interesting because I honestly forgot that they were dating, but they are maybe two of the bigger British stars. Like, Matt Smith is huge, and dating Lily James is a pretty big deal, right? For England.
Lidl.
I know we don't care here, but...
No, I'm still, Lily James is one of those people, I'm not quite certain of her influence, and I feel like Mamma Mia 2 was a huge hit, Yesterday wasn't, so like, I don't, it...
So the story here is that they were dating, like publicly out and dating.
Yeah, cute couple.
So she was in Mamma Mia 2, and he was on The Crown, and apparently he got quote-unquote close with his co-star, Claire Foy, the other, like, extremely boring person in this story. And Lily got close with her co-star, Skarsgård, the Starsgård kid. What's his name?
He's a Skarsgård? I thought he was just some other guy.
No, the young Skarsgård. Oh, no, Josh Dillon.
Yeah, who's he's not Josh a Skarsgård. Dillon? He just looks like a Skarsgård. He was the young Skarsgård, but not an actual Skarsgård.
Oh, that's you know my what mistake. I mean.
He was Stellan. He was young Stellan Skarsgård, is what you meant.
Which is funny because which there are sense. Young.
There's so many young Skarsgårds.
But he wasn't him.
This is a brain fart that makes perfect. Okay, sense. Thank you. So Josh Dillon played young Stellan Skarsgård in Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again.
So people think that the Claire and Matt thing happened first, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, they got together first, and then this, like, report in the Sun, no, Showbiz, no, what is this? Daily Mail. The
Daily Mail.
But, like, Daily Mail in print, this is from Daily Mail in print, is saying that Lily James is, like, you know, going for comfort to her friend, Josh Dillon, who was in Mamma Mia 2. Definitely the funniest thing about this, I don't know if you caught this, but there's a photo of Lily James petting a cheetah.
Oh, yeah, I saw
and
that.
And the caption says, double meaning. Some fans think this Instagram post from Lily James contains a hidden message. Do you get it? Cheetah? Cheater? Cheetah?
Oh,
he's a cheetah? Yeah.
Cheetah.
He's a cheetah. Hmm. No, I know. It's no. It's a big no.
So it's like, they're each potentially dating their respective co-stars, but neither one has actually admitted to this. But they're still saying that they're together, Matt and Lily, right?
Yes, because they've been dating for 5 years, but they have not been seen together for months.
Lily James, I have like high hopes for her for some reason. I don't know why. But again, I'm the fool who liked Yesterday, so.
You are the fool who liked Yesterday.
I'm the fool who liked Yesterday.
It doesn't take much for you. But this is a good... I'd be curious to know if British people care about that, because here the answer is a big no.
Sure. The weird thing about this, I think, is the timing. You know, like that movie filmed 2 years ago and Claire Foy is no longer even on The Crown. So these things all happened so long ago. Why are they just now coming to light? That's the only thing that gives a little bit of credence to it, because it's so random. Like why are we talking about these things?
Right. There's no weird promotion or reason for them to be talking about these people other than the interest in Matt Smith and Lily James' relationship, which is like ongoing. But nothing is really happening right now to say that this, or maybe they've just been sitting on this waiting for them to have not been seen together for a few months in public. Because then it's like, oh, we can like put this story out now because we can say they haven't been seen together in a few months. It's like maybe the reason is just because they haven't been photographed together in a few months.
Although I guess, you know, everyone in the world saw the girl who punched the spider's face. So maybe people are clamoring for Claire Foy news, you know?
The girl who punched the spider's face.
Whatever
the
other
one is. Incredible film. Yeah, the girl who punched the spider's face, the sequel to...
The girl who kicked the...
The girl who pet the neighbor's dog. Also one of the movies in that series.
The girl who killed the neighbor's dog would
while
be...
While they were on vacation.
That's the Hollywood Hills movie of my dreams.
The girl who killed the neighbor's dog while the neighbors were on vacation is an incredible film.
But it's a Pixar movie and the girl is a coyote.
That's the answer. That's like the end of the movie.
It's this cute coyote who like is very sympathetic. She's an anti-hero because she's so sweet and like whatever, but she's also a wild animal and she has to kill cute dogs. Yeah. But it's like, but it's just part of her nature. Uh-huh. Like we shouldn't judge her for killing the dogs owned by the rich and famous. Like,
but
yeah,
the entire thing is funded by the city of Los Angeles to like warn you about like having your dog killed by coyote.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't want to be like this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore.
And it was made in memory of Julian Huff's dogs. Like it was that's at the end. It's like dedicated to like Harley and Barley. Like what are their names? I don't know.
Harley and Barley sounds right.
Okay.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour's over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. The first thing I'll say about this is that it's weird to me that she doesn't do this all the time. Now that I've seen her do it, I'm like, wait, why hasn't Chrissy Teigen done this a million times in the past? This is so up her alley.
Well, I almost tweeted this, but didn't want to be like up her ass about it. I almost tweeted like a suck up. I almost tweeted like these would be the questions we would ask Chrissy Teigen if we ever got an opportunity to interview Chrissy Teigen. But I didn't want to imply that we'd ever been even given the opportunity or imply that we had maybe. So because we haven't. We've asked. We haven't been given.
We asked.
Nor have we.
We didn't receive a response, but exactly. We asked.
The point is that if we were to interview her, these are a lot of the questions that we would actually ask too. So I can't lie but say like I love reading her answers because they're some of these questions that she's choosing. She's retweeting people's questions for her and answering them. Some of the questions are like truly weird, good celebrity like questions that she recognizes are fun to answer. Like somebody tweeted at her, do celebrities talk to each other or is it only through assistance? Like if you wanted to text a celeb friend, do you do it or do their people talk to your people? Which is such a funny question. And she wrote, sometimes I ask a publicist for someone's info to text, but for the most part, I don't talk to many people because I don't want them to think I'm a thirsty weirdo. The other one I liked was, are most celebrities nicer or meaner than they appear to the public? And she retweeted and wrote, the bigger the celeb, the nicer. But I've met lots of borderline people who had super attitudes, LOL, but also being a lot of shitty big celebs. So I guess there's no clear path. So basically she says there's no way to know. There was another one I liked too that I didn't put here that I retweeted onto our account.
The one I really liked, the one about, I'm scrolling through, I'm trying to find the one about mail. There was just a funny, oh, it says, do celebrities worry about paying their own bills like the light mortgage internet, or do they just get their assistants to do their bills for them? And she says, I have a business accountant who handles everything and sends me summaries of my spending and income. Period. I don't get mail. That's funny. That's actually very enlightening to me. Like,
right.
Everything goes through so many filters.
She doesn't get
that
mail.
She doesn't, like she doesn't walk in and be like, honey, I'm home, and like flip through this like fanned out thing of like a Bed Bath & Beyond ad. Like that mail goes somewhere else.
Maybe that's the best part about being famous secretly, is that you don't have to get mail.
I don't want to ever have to deal with mail again.
Wow. Whoa. That was like enlightening. Okay, wait. One more. Someone tweeted, do you read gossip about other celebrities or text them about stuff you hear? This is the number one question I would ask Chrissy, because she seems like somebody who genuinely likes a celebrity culture, or she likes gossip and entertainment as much as an unexpected amount for being an entertainer. She said, yes, but no one really reads their own shit. You don't want to bring people down unless it's a big garbage story, then you reach out and see if they're okay. So like you wouldn't, so Chrissy is saying like you wouldn't like read something about someone and text them necessarily about it, because nobody wants to really hear what other people are saying about them if they don't have to. I'm sure they'll hear it from like their publicist. That's like where they would have to hear it from. I don't know. I mean, obviously Chrissy Teigen is not the like typical celebrity. I mean, the fact that she's still on Twitter despite so much, I would think, stuff that would take me out immediately, she still finds the good in there for herself. Yeah. And finds it like rewarding overall. That's surprising to me, because it's the whole thing where it's like, oh my God, if I was rich or if I didn't have to deal with this at all, I would never be on Twitter. But the question is, would you? Like, maybe it would make you be on Twitter more, like somebody like Chrissy Teigen, who only goes out once a month or something.
Rita time, right? Sure.
Sure. Rita time.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
It was so hard to not talk about this on the Friday episode because the news dropped before.
Yeah.
We got a lot of calls about it. But yes, Rita Ora is dating the son of Jude Law, Raph Law. They're 6 years apart, which is honestly fewer years than I thought, because I thought he was like 19. But he's 23.
She's 28. 29. She just turned 29. Yeah.
They fell in love on the set of Oliver. Twist!
Exclamation point! Twist!
He couldn't dodge her advances. Is that the line? She couldn't dodge his advances. That's what
right.
it is.
She's Dodger.
She's Dodger. Dodge. Right.
Or
right,
Dodge
right.
or whatever. This is just
Did you see
weird
these captions that I put in here?
Because hydrated. Rita drank water in between takes as they breathed. Stoic. Rita transformed into her character. She donned the police uniform. But they went to the British Fashion Awards. Rita wore this like crazy jumpsuit thing with eye makeup or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're saying they're together is because after they were spotted together holding hands, mm-hmm. which to me is kind of like
could be platonic,
could be nothing, but
when
also
it's Rita.
When it's Rita, it's like, do I think that Rita's like having a fling with Jude Law's hot young son? Yes,
probably.
Like,
yeah,
that
and
is
also like Rita wouldn't do that unless she at least wanted people to think that,
right?
You know, like Rita right. is smart enough to know that if she leaves a restaurant holding Jude Law's son's hand, the headline will be Rita Ora and Jude Law's son are dating.
Half of me is like, Rita knows what she's doing to hold hands with him for like press reasons. It's great and like whatever. But then half of me is like, well, if you're going to do that, you might as well hook up with him too. Like, that's yeah. fun. Like, yeah. so part of me is like, why pretend to like hook up with Jude Law's hot young mm-hmm. son who's your co-star? Or when you just could hook up with, you know, Jude Law's hot young son who's your co-worker.
But the source says an eyewitness saw the pair, quote, getting close, kissing yeah. outside on the terrace. And then another person said, quote, they look like a couple holding hands and cuddling.
I mean, he is splitting image of Jude Law. So this is even more weird because it's like, unfortunately, because of our industry Oops. That we mm-hmm. report on, I could also see Rita dating Jude Law, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I love that she's like not dating Jude Law. She's dating Jude Law's son yeah. instead.
And they're commenting on each other's Instagrams. The other one that I have isn't in here. The other one yeah. that I found, but they're definitely commenting on each other's Instagrams. So it's like, you know, they're being cutesy in a way that they want people to notice.
Right. It's also just funny because Rita's on her like never ending world tour. I mean, she's just like event after event after event. And he's mm-hmm. like, I'm doing a gig with my mates he's playing in his like weird little band with his like friends, you know, like mm-hmm. he is significantly younger than her. And it's very clear.
He is a 23 year old.
Yeah. Right.
Also, like Rita Ora is not as old. Rita Ora is not super old, but Rita Ora has been famous long enough where she seems a little bit more mature in her fame. And he's like new to the scene. So it's like, he's right. still sort of acting like a 23 year old, whereas Rita Ora is acting a little older than a 29 year old.
I mean,
you know, like there's
just
something a little more
incredible
mature
promo for Twist. Like, I just cannot believe that. I've never been more excited for a straight to VOD Sky News exclusive movie. Like, I'm so thrilled about this.
It'll be out in 2021, not even next year.
No, that can't be true. This is
early 2021. Sky Cinema will distribute the film in the United Kingdom. Saban Films will distribute within North America.
God. That means we have to do this podcast through 2021. We can't stop the podcast until...
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do it. That's fine. No, we can't stop it until like 2025. No,
at
we're going to keep doing it.
Oh my
we're
God, Rita. But by then she'll have an
we'll
Oscar.
We'll stop it on Rita's 40th birthday. We'll stop.
Stop.
11 years. 11 years. It's fine. We'll stop in 2030.
Stop, please. Please.
What? We'll stop in 2030. That's fine.
Okay, great. So...
We'll see you in 2030. No, okay. We'll stop in 2030.
Okay.
That's fine.
Did she do
what
anything
is this?
Else?
I didn't
she wore
click this
outfit. Oh, she wore this amazing. I sent you this. She
oh, you sent me this.
She wore this yeah. like.
Juxtapositioning.
She
You're welcome.
A word of the day, juxtaposition, which is weird because I don't think that that's what she meant. It's not. What's juxtaposition about this?
Just because you put a thing next to another thing doesn't mean it's juxtaposition. Like,
what's the thing next to the thing? She's wearing a dress that has like a cutout in the middle.
Clothes against skin?
No, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, what does that mean?
I'm juxtaposing this brown against my skin. I'm juxtaposing this pattern against my
photo. Like,
she's
what?
Wearing a sort of a weird cutout dress, but it's not a cutout dress. It's like, it's a very form-fitting dress with one leg out. But it's like, imagine a dress that is very trendy or was trendy a year ago where it's like leg out, right? But in addition to the leg being out, the entire half of her abdomen is out, so it looks like someone took a, like a shark took a bit, took a bite out of the dress. And then, like, a shark took a bite out of the side of the dress, and then she put it on. And now the left half of her abdomen is showing, but no boob. And we know how much she loves under boob, side boob, all kinds of boob. There's no boob. It's honestly very modest. All of her modesty is covered, but her belly button and the left side of her abdomen is visible, as is her ab crack.
This is the worst description of fashion ever.
Her ab crack is visible. It looks very Gucci. What is that? What is that?
It looks that like color a very, is Gucci-ish. It's a very Gucci print. It's brown. It almost looks like it's
Fendi
a maze.
Print.
It looks like a maze, like a line maze you have to go through. Like
a Gucci Fendi-ish mazy line.
I don't think she got the photo, the full length, but there are boots that match. Like there are matching boots. She loves like a full match, like a entirely matching outfit. So there are boots. It's just like a weird, it's a very
Why is she calling
look.
It juxtaposition?
No, I don't know. I was like, that's what I just keep thinking about. What is that?
What's being
mean?
Juxtaposed against what?
I don't know, but I'm reading the replies trying to figure out if anyone agrees, if anyone's
People
asking.
People need to question these things. You can't just accept what celebrities say without actually speaking.
Ugh, somebody wrote, incredible body. I need to get a bigger towel. I'm like, I don't know what that means either, but I'm grossed out.
is there any other Rita? Just her bejeweled dress?
No, I mean, I feel like the Ralph Law thing is like, we led with the best part. And then this juxtaposing Jess, which we'll honestly never figure out. I honestly am going to look up the word juxtaposition to see if like maybe I have it wrong.
No, it's it's like it's contrast with intent is like
she's
like hold on,
gaslighting
just like,
me
what is
into
the actual
I don't know what juxtaposition
the
means
the fact of two things being seen or placed close together with contrasting effect. Yes, it's contrast with intent, like you're doing the contrasting with a purpose, you know, like this is juxtaposed against this, which elicits this mood or like this feeling or means this metaphor or whatever. Or just to make the contrast more, one thing more dramatic because it's being juxtaposed with this. But like, what is this? Just looks like a dress Rita would wear any day of the week.
Yeah, no, it's funny to get like excited over new Rita looks because it almost feels like I've seen it all. So
yeah,
I think she still manages to find ways to like do stuff that's, you know, interesting. This is definitely interesting and weird and juxtapositioning, I guess. It's juxtaposing.
It's just, I mean, maybe it's just straight up juxtapositioning. Great.
Maybe she's juxtaposing in the dress. Juxtapose.
Oh my God. Maybe that's what she meant to type.
Juxtaposing? But that doesn't make any sense either.
It doesn't make any sense either, but it would at least be a pun.
Juxtapose.
Yeah.
It would at least be a
pun. Like, I would accept the pun and be like, I don't think you know what that means, but I would, like, appreciate the pun. That pun isn't even there. Maybe she really did mean to pose. Okay. I don't want to talk about this anymore. We're done. Thank you so much for listening to Who Weekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Explain what you think she's doing in that photo and whether or not you believe it's an example of juxtaposition. Juxtapositioning. Those are some boring reviews. Also, if you're going to follow the prompt, rate 5 stars. I saw someone follow the prompt about the pancreas and they rated it 4.
No, if you're going to use our joke against us, you better give us 5 stars. You can write whatever you want.
You can write whatever you want and give us a 4-star review, but you cannot use the joke if you're giving us a 4-star review. No, 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 no.
You're like, women you don't belong in balloons. 3 stars.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you. Crunch, crunch, I love this place. 2.5. Okay? If you're going to participate,
that's funny.
5 stars.
Don't do that. It's not funny. I don't like it. I will not like
it. If you don't like us, give us a 2-star review, but explain why.
Unless it's too mean. In which I don't want to see it.
In which case, email us. Just kidding. Never, never, never do that. Okay. Thank you so much. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. What else can you do? Have a great week is one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Call 619-WHO-THEM if you want to leave questions, comments, or concerns for our Friday episode. And with that, we will see you on Friday. Also, a new Patreon episode drops this week, too, just for you subscribers. And, see you later. Bye.
Bye.
To be famous.